Welcome back into the program. It's Monday. We're off and rolling as week five of the college football season is now in the books, and we'll talk about all the scores, and we'll get some analysis from our many guests throughout the week, as well as other reflections on the week, and look ahead to week six, which also is a good slate. We'll talk about that as well. But first, there is some breaking news that happened early Sunday morning or late Sunday night, depending on where you live, and that is Lane Kiffin, former head coach of the USC Trojans, former head coach of the Tennessee Volunteers and Oakland Raiders, was let go from the Trojans program. Pat Hayden had had enough after the 62-41 beatdown that USC received at the hands of Arizona State Saturday night. And this is a major program. You talk about college football's top programs. You got Alabama, Ohio State, Texas. Talked about that job, but this is USC, and now it is open. And that is going to be a job that we're going to see a lot of coaches vie for. And I'll bring in David Sears now and get his take on it, because I know Sears likes to burn the midnight oil. He stayed up and watched the West Coast showdown Saturday night. What'd you think of that? And then what'd you think of Kiffin getting the axe?
It was unbelievable watching USC get dismantled the way they did. They went up 21-20, and then I think it was like 2.5 minutes of game time, they were down 41-21. And it was just unbelievable the way USC fell apart. They had a lot of injuries. Marquise Lee got injured. Their safety, who's the Polynesian name I cannot pronounce, was injured. And they just started getting more and more injuries. And you could just see the life from that USC team just drain out of it.
Yeah.
And Kiffin looked absolutely confused and had no clue what to do. He looked Shula-esque on the sidelines. And when you say someone looks Shula-esque and not like Don Shula, but Mike, that's not a good sign.
Wait, Sears, let's not insult Mike Shula here.
I think they're about the same class. I think they're about the same class. But the way the firing went down, where he was fired in the parking lot after the team had arrived back in L.A. after the 62-41 debacle, was cold-blooded. I think Pat Hayden had just had enough. It was an absolute embarrassment for that team. It's the second time they've given up 62 points within the past 11 games. Both occurrences are against Pac-12 opponents. Both occurrences set the record for most points given up by USC. Mm. And when you think USC, you think of those traditionally great defenses. You don't really think of a team that just gets embarrassed that way. And we knew it was coming, but man, did it. It come quickly.
It did. It came with a vengeance. Lane Kiffin was at Tennessee in 2009. He had a pretty good year that year. In fact, it's the best year Tennessee has had since the Phil Fulmer era ended at 7-6, 4-4 in the SEC. At USC, compiled a record of 28-15. But lately, things have just gotten out of control. I think he had lost something like 8 of his last 13 games or something
They've lost 7 of their last 11 going back.
7 of the, okay.
To last season.
And so it leaves this program that should be winning all the time, should be the class of the Pac-12 in this state of, well, they're not even competitive this year for the Pac-12 South. Who do you see them going after, and where do you see, I mean, is this program, when we understand they got the sanctions, is it going to get back on track anytime soon?
I think you can get back on track after sanctions. We're seeing that at Alabama. Alabama had the sanctions instituted in 2002, and it took them about 5 years to recover. So USC had the sanctions going in 2010, so this is year three. And then Kiffin, of course, with his genius, decided to, while they were waiting for the sanctions to come down, not follow the rules and go ahead and self-impose the scholarships. And he kept doing full recruiting classes and pushing back the scholarship reductions. So he's affecting the coach behind him. I think the coaches to look for in the USC job are Jack Del Rio. He was supposedly in LAX after the Broncos defeated the Eagles yesterday. He's currently the defensive coordinator for the Denver Broncos. Chris Peterson, the Boise State head coach, is another very popular name. And then Kevin Sumlin is another popular name. Kevin Sumlin has got a lot of credit going for him right now. I think he could do very well in L.A., but I think the money that Texas A&M is pulling in now because of Kevin Sumlin is going to be very hard for him to turn down. I could see the Board of Regents upping his contract and making him either the highest paid coach in the SEC or just flat out highest paid coach in all of college football.
So Johnny Manziel will up his salary then, correct?
I think Johnny Manziel has helped Kevin Sumlin become one of the most sought-after coaches in the Division I ranks. And I think that with Kevin Sumlin there at Texas A&M, that he's got a lot of pull right now to say, look, if you don't pay up, I'm gone. And Texas A&M does not want to fall into the middle of the pack in the SEC. They're liking the publicity they're getting right now. So I could definitely see that Kevin Sumlin using this as a bargaining chip to get more money. But I don't think Kevin Sumlin would leave. I'd say probably Chris Peterson or Jack Del Rio are your two top candidates for the USC job.
Well, very interesting. We will watch this story and follow it as the season develops, and we'll see if USC can find a coach by year's end or perhaps the beginning of next calendar year. Let's get to the action now on the field. College football scores from this past weekend. I'll skim through some of them and get Sears' take on some of the bigger games, but South Carolina survived a scare against Central Florida, 28-25. Tennessee also survived a scare. They beat South Alabama 31-24. Texas A&M 45-33 over Arkansas. Missouri remains undefeated 41-19 over Arkansas State. Vanderbilt beat UAB 52-24. Florida had no problem with Kentucky 24-7. And in an epic.
Can I just
epic,
say one thing about that Kentucky Florida game?
Absolutely.
When your kicker is your leading rusher, you're probably having some offensive problems. I thought that was hilarious that the Kentucky special teams unit pulls the old Les Miles flip over the holder's shoulder field goal trick, and that 25-yard rush by the kicker was the longest and most yards gained by a Kentucky rusher all night. So when your kicker is your leading rusher, you're having a ton of offensive problems.
Kickers are athletes too, Sears.
They are athletes. He was a very fast guy,
I have to admit, I was impressed with the play there and the athleticism from the kicker there, and a nice win for Florida. Really, I thought they would struggle having the new quarterback, having the loss of Dominic Easley, which is such a critical part of the defense, and they went into Kentucky and handled things nicely. I really am impressed with what Florida did.
I know a lot of people are going to count out Florida and say they don't really have a shot against LSU, they don't really have a shot against Georgia. I think with Murphy at quarterback, they're getting better. They're opening up more of the playbook. They wanted to play very conservative when they went up big, 21-7. They felt like they didn't have to do anything. They knew their defense could basically hold Kentucky in on their side of the field, so they didn't feel that challenge or need to expand the playbook. I think as the weeks progress, Murphy will have more of that playbook. Murphy will be more of a dominant quarterback. I think he will be there to give LSU and Georgia a challenge down the road.
LSU could not quite come up with a game-saving drive against Georgia. They fall short 44-41 in what I thought was one of the most epic college football games I've ever seen. Zach Mettenberger and Aaron Murray put on a show, throwing for a combined 670 yards and 7 touchdowns. So does this mean that Georgia is the class of the East, is the team to beat, and what does this say for LSU?
Georgia is one of the top teams in the East. I don't think they're the class of the East. Right now they're in the driver's seat. For South Carolina to get there, they're going to have, Georgia will have to lose twice, and South Carolina will have to win out. South Carolina doesn't really have any hard tests, outside of, Florida left on the SEC schedule. So I think South Carolina is a good seat because I think Georgia could lose too, because Georgia is known to lay a big egg after a big victory. So I'd put them on upset alert for this game against Tennessee. LSU, I think, showed that their defense is very young still. We gave them a lot of credit for what they did against TCU and what they were able to do against some weaker opponents in Kent State and UAB. But they were placing a ton of talent on defense. And when you have a very experienced quarterback like an Aaron Murray who's able to pick apart that defense, that young defense, it showed. There was miscommunication on the game-winning touchdown for Georgia. There was a lot of miscommunication in the secondary throughout, letting receivers run free in the red zone. That's something you should never do. I mean, it's a very young LSU defense who I think next year will be way better, but this year this LSU defense is still young and growing. I think they'll be better by that Florida game. I think they'll be pretty much set by the time Alabama plays them November 9th. But I think LSU is in a fine position. They can still compete for the national title. They didn't drop that far in the coaches' poll. If they win out, they'll have a shot to have a repeat with Georgia in the SEC championship game. So LSU still has a lot to play for, but their margin of error is ridiculously thin right now.
Well, and for LSU, another problem is they have a brutal stretch upcoming. Mississippi State in Starkville this weekend, then they get Florida at home. They travel to Oxford to play Ole Miss. They play Furman, and then they have an off week before traveling to Tuscaloosa to play the Tide. They get another off week, and then end the season with Texas A&M and Arkansas at home. That's not going to – LSU does not have time to feel sorry for itself. If it wins all those games, then they'll be right back up there. But if they are throwing a pity party after their close loss at Georgia, they will get beaten by one of these next couple of opponents. All right, Sears.
Say what you will about Les Miles. He is a very good motivator. He's very good at keeping his team focused. He's a little crazy. He's a little crazy, but he's a very good coach. And I think that this LSU team will go out and put on a great performance against a struggling Mississippi State squad this weekend.
It's going to be a great day. Alabama 25-0 in an extremely dominating performance over Ole Miss Saturday night. The defense of Alabama's only gave up over 200 yards, only 20-something yards rushing for Jeff Scott in the Ole Miss rushing attack. What do you say about the Alabama? A lot was said about the defense, how much they gave up to Texas A&M, how much they gave up to Colorado State and others, and they seem to come to play Saturday night.
The defense played with a huge chip on their shoulders. You saw freshmen step up. You saw players who have not really been that impactful this season step up. You saw a great job by C.J. Mosley making sure everyone's on the same page in the front seven. You saw a great job by Vinny Sinceri coordinating the secondary, getting everybody on the same page. You're starting to see the leadership step up there, and the freshman play of Eddie Jackson was amazing. Eddie Jackson goes from being out of the game for a targeting penalty to coming back in the game. He was able to control his emotion, played some big defensive stops there at the inside the red zone for Alabama, and he showed that he's a star in the making, can be that next D. Milliner, Dre Kirkpatrick lockdown corner that Nick Saban loves. Offensively, I think the offensive line unit looked way better with, was it Lindsey that came in for Kelly?
Yes.
And Lindsey really, you could hear it on the broadcast, he would scream at the top of his lungs what the calls were, but you know what? Maybe that's what the offensive line needed. He was clearly communicating where the mic was, where the blocking scheme was going to be set up from. I thought they moved the ball significantly better under him, and maybe that's the route that they need to go and have that unit together. I think they played pretty cohesive. The negative plays that Saban likes to talk about were still too many for my taste, but I think they're working on it. You can see improvement, and that's something that I think as a fan you can take a lot of heart in, is seeing improvement. You don't want to see regression. You want to get better each week. And if that offensive line continues to gel, I think by the time they hit that hard stretch of LSU, Mississippi State, let's throw out UT Chattanooga, and Auburn, that Alabama will be at their peak for those three games. So I think Alabama's getting to where they need to be. Still a ways to go. Not quite a great team yet, but you can see the foundation being laid, and they're getting better and better each week.
Well, they're going to need something to remain motivated and stimulated over these next couple of weeks. They have Georgia State at home this week, and then they travel to Lexington to play the Kentucky Wildcats before two home games against Arkansas and Tennessee, and then the off week before LSU. So Alabama certainly should be undefeated and number one going into that contest against LSU, barring a major, major upset. Well, that's a look at the SEC. Let's take a look at some of the top 25 games. And again, it was a great weekend in college football. Lots going on. Miami had no problem with South Florida, 49-21. West Virginia took down Oklahoma State. They were in our Power 10 here on BunSports.com. Oklahoma State was not anymore. But the class of the Big 12 may indeed be the Oklahoma Sooners. And I want to get your take, Sears, on their 35-21 victory in South Bend. I thought this was a statement for Bob Stoops and company. They're a force to be reckoned with this year.
They are. They actually looked better with Blake Bell as the quarterback. And I think they're getting to where they need to be. I don't know how that defense will hold up against a better offense. Notre Dame's still struggling on offense with Reese there. They still don't quite have the cohesion that they did last year, and they're struggling to replace Tyler Eifert. But I think Oklahoma has a pretty good road ahead of them. to be the Big 12 representative in the BCS, maybe even be undefeated. A lot of emphasis is going to be placed on that Texas game in a couple of weeks, and we'll see how they do with that. But Bob Stoops needs to have a really good year. He's kind of been stuck in neutral for a while, and if Bob Stoops can get that Oklahoma program to a BCS bowl or even the BCS championship game, I think a lot of people will be very happy in Norman, Oklahoma.
Florida State struggled with Boston College early, but they end up winning the game 48-34. Clemson 56-7 over Wake Forest. Washington 31-13 over Arizona. Stanford obliterated Washington State 55-17. Oregon the same over California 55-16. Fresno State remains in the top 25 for the 42-37 victory over Hawaii. And then Ohio State.
Did you catch that game? Did you catch any of that game?
I saw a bit of it. You're talking about the Fresno State game?
Yeah, Fresno State almost blew a 35-point lead. Like, Hawaii had a Hail Mary knockdown as time expired that if they would have caught, would have beaten Fresno State. So Fresno State played very well that first half, but man, did they almost blow that game. So I think Fresno State is a very much a Hawaii or Northern Illinois-type BCS school if they make the BCS. I think they'll make it, but I think they'll get punished severely by whatever team plays them.
That's true, and I think they could make the BCS. It just depends on how several other schools play out. And then finally, Ohio State at over 31-24 over Wisconsin, and Wisconsin made it a game late, but Ohio State seemed to handle things nicely. Are you buying the Buckeyes?
I'm not buying the Buckeyes. Oh. I'm calling it right now. They're going down in Evanston this weekend. I think Northwestern will get them. I think Ohio State is a very flawed team. They've just played a very weak schedule. Wisconsin is not the Wisconsin of old. They were unable to run the ball. They don't have that dominant offensive line that we've expected from Wisconsin. So I think Ohio State's a very overrated team. I think they go down this weekend in Evanston, Illinois. I think the Wildcats of Northwestern will definitely have their number.
An upset call on a Monday. David Sears says right now that the Northwestern Wildcats will take down Ohio State this weekend. You know, it's hard to disagree with that. I think Northwestern has a solid football team, and as good of a chance as they've had since the Big Ten title game became in existence to make that game, and I'll be interested to see it. Well, great stuff, Sears, as always, and we will look forward to talking to you next week as we'll have many more games to discuss, and we'll see if Alabama, what are they, a 57-point favorite? We'll see if they can beat the spread against Georgia, A&M State, or whatever they're playing this weekend.
It's going to be a rough game. I think this is definitely going to be a game where Saban will blow up one more time because these are the type of weeks when he tries to keep his teams focused. So I think he'll have a big blow-up that'll be all over the news. But it's really hard to take Georgia State seriously when they've lost to two FCS schools. Samford and Jack State are really good programs at the FCS level, but there's no way that if you're a legitimate Division I school, you should lose to two FCS programs. So I think Georgia State will get their brains beaten in by Alabama. I think Bama will call off the dogs. I could see like a 42-0, 49-0 type victory. If Georgia State scores more than 3 points, it's a victory for Georgia State.
Hey, David, thank you.
Thank you, Jacob.
We will be back on Wednesday on the program. Take care. Have a great week.